great nation of Israel. So, until today, Rosh Hashanah, especially times of grave crisis, we take Akedas Yitzchak as a great merit. Akedas Yitzchak, the sacrifice of Yitzchak, is a great merit for the Jewish people because that's the promise which God made. But it's always called the test of Avraham. In all the liturgy, in all the prayers, and in the words of the Chazal, the emphasis is on Avraham rather than on Yitzchak, even though, according to our tradition, Yitzchak was already middle-aged. He was, I think, 36, it says. He was already a middle-aged man. And Avraham did not force him. He, at one point, he had to know what was going on. So, but the emphasis is on Avraham rather than on Yitzchak. So that's one issue we want to talk about a little bit. And the Shem Shmuel also has another issue, trying to exactly understand what was the challenge which was facing Avraham. And many Mepharshim are trying to focus what was the challenge, what was the real Nisayon, because the actual event, I mean, take the son and kill him, whereas for me and you and everybody, regular people, would be a terrible event to face and to have to do something like that. But here we're dealing with a man who's a prophet. He's a Navi. So God himself is speaking to him. So for a Navi, you know, it's hard to us. We don't really understand because we are not Nevi'im ourselves, so it's very hard for us to put ourselves in his position. But one of the things a Navi is that he knows that what he hears from God is true. So if he hears from the Almighty that this boy's life is basically, his fate is sealed, he will not live beyond when God says, go kill him. That's in effect it's saying, I have decided that his life must end. So the Navi knows that the life will end. So, and Avraham doesn't pray to God to reverse the decree. Apparently he understood that this decree was final, because we know that sometimes God makes, many decrees which God makes are reversible, can be changed. But once in a while there is a decree which, I'll use a certain expression, it's sealed in with clay, or it's sealed a certain way. Besides written, it's sealed a certain way in cement. So once it gets that final seal, a decree, even a bad decree, is not reversible. Normally, bad decrees you could change with tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah. You could change a bad decree, but certain decrees are final, unchangeable.
And this was one of those?
Apparently. Otherwise, why wouldn't Avraham Avinu pray?
So how did that happen?
So it was a final decree. So that means that God had decided that Yitzchak's life was going to end. Finally, that's it.
But it didn't.
But he did live.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
In the Torah itself, the Torah said that
he
said, bring him up on the mountain as a korban.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. The solution why he survived is, Rashi says, because if you look at the words very carefully, what the tzivui, the commandment was, it says, v'haleyu sham li'ola. Bring him up as an ola al achad harim. One of the mountains. So it doesn't say shachtehu zavchehu. It doesn't say literally kill him, slaughter him. It says how bring him up as an ola, and getting someone on, putting the sacrifice on the mizbeach, even before one kills, is also a literal fulfillment of those words. So literally, V'haleu Sham La'ola was fulfilled, even though normal semantics, V'haleu La'ola mean go through the whole process of delivering the Ola, which involves slaughtering. But technically, literally, just putting the boy on the Mizbeach was a literal fulfillment of the command, and that's why he survived, because it turned out when the angel came that the meaning of those words is not the normal semantics, which means to go through the whole process, but rather the simple literal meaning, which is unusual, but it is still fits what the words say. The angel told Abraham the decree never was to kill him, the decree was just to put him on the Mizbech, so he did survive. Yeah.
The Tanakh discusses a little Yitzchak afterwards, because he became Kadosh completely, became completely sanctified, which is why I never left there Yisrael, which is why there's very little spoken about Yitzchak afterwards after the Akedah.
Okay, fine.
So in a certain sense, they say spiritually it did happen.
It did happen.
I mean, Midrash says that like the ashes of Yitzchak,
Right. There's some people say that something happened. In fact, the Zohar says that his soul did leave him, and then there was an event of revival of the dead. Not that Avram pulled the knife across, but the soul left because of the experience, and actually there was what you would call a death, and then there was a revival, Priyatamata, that the Zohar says. That could also be a way of explaining. But Rashi says that it just fits the meaning of the word. So now, but this still, but the fact is, so if it's a prophet, he was a Navi, and he at that point interpreted his Nebuah as meaning that, because Navim most times, it also says, they just get what they get. Interpretations of the Nebuah they don't get. That's already, even then, they have to figure it out, other people have to figure it out. That's why we have all the Mefarshim on the Tanakh, because many of the things lend themselves to different interpretations. The Navi himself doesn't know exactly what it really means. He just knows what he's supposed to say. So, Avraham Avinu knew, at least that's how he interpreted it, that this was a final decree. It was irreversible. There's nothing to pray about. You can't pray. It's not going to change. It was that kind of a level of a decree. And he's going to die. So what? So then, clearly, he's going to do it. That wasn't the test, because the Navi knows that he can't escape God's will. Some of us, we sometimes play our own mind games. We know God wills something, and it has to be this way, but we're going to try to outwit him, like Yonah HaNavi tried. That was the one Navi who thought he could be a human being and outwit the Bnei Shalom, and he failed. So the other Navim knew right away they can't. So Avraham Avinu understood that. So he was going to do it. So that's not a test. So what is the test? The test has to be in the mental psychology which he brings to doing it. Certainly he's going to listen to what God told him to do. He's not going to turn himself. We know that later on, Moshe tells us, a Navi doesn't listen to his own Nevuah, Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Like Yonah. Yonah was almost killed. He was thrown into the ocean, Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim, because he's not fulfilling his own prophecy. So Avraham Avinu didn't want to be a Navi who's Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim, so he said he's going to do what God told him. So what was the test? The test had to be, what mentality does he bring to do this? That's what Shem Shmuel says. So does he do this like a normal human being and be very upset, be extremely upset, maybe sad, certainly, maybe worried, maybe even angry, all the emotions which such a thing would cause a father to think of, to feel. So will he have that? Then he fails the test. Or, since it's a tzivur of Hashem Yisbarach, it's God's command, he does it the way a Jew shakes a lulav and esrog, or eats matzah. The lad of simcha shel mitzvah. He's happy to do a mitzvah. He has the simcha of a mitzvah, so he does this because it's Rotzon Hashem. He does it with the same simcha that you and I have Seder night when we eat the matzah, or when we light the Hanukkah candles. We have a very big joy. So he has a joy doing this mitzvah. That was a test. Now, I think that most of us cannot relate to that test. That's why God doesn't test you and me with that kind of a test, because he knows we would fail. But Avraham Avinu was tested to see whether he could do this kind of a mitzvah, which is so emotionally normative emotions, it's completely disruptive, causes anger, sadness, melancholy, everything. Can he do it at the simcha shel mitzvah? Now, right. So, the fact is